Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
I'm Heidi's ex-husband. I'd like to give a brief statement. I've worked with the LAPD quite a bit over the last 6-7 weeks. I can't tell you how grateful I am to the LAPD. All of Heidi's friends that have been helpful, the news media that's been helpful. The one place that I think that we need some help, and the reason why I'm doing this today, is a little bit of public appeal. We know for sure that there are people out there who know what has happened, who know the truth about what's gone on with Heidi. We need somebody to step forward and please fill in some of the blanks. I think most of you now know that I have an 11-year-old boy at home. Our 11-year-old boy needs to know what has happened to his mom.
Featuring Joe Sweeney from Thinking Sideways podcast and filmmaker Vincent Caldoni, this is The Shocking Details.
Rolling. Hey there. Welcome to another episode of The Shocking Details. I'm Joe, joined, as always, by
Vincent Caldoni.
And this week we got an interesting little mystery. It's a very, very recent one. We don't usually cover stories quite so recent as this because we're afraid that we're going to be like just, you know, outpaced by news events. That could very well happen, in which case, you know, keep your eyes peeled for an update on this one.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is about Heidi Plank, who vanished just last fall. She is, and some people think was, but we're going to go with is. Heidi is a successful mother, divorced, living in Los Angeles, California. And on October 17th, 2021, she was at her young son's football game. He's 11 years old. She was attending that and just got up and left. Didn't say why. And didn't tell a soul where she was going. And that's it. Nobody's seen her since, although she was spotted on a security camera miles away. That would have been like hours later, same day, hours later, 30 miles away in downtown Los Angeles, walking her dog behind a downtown high rise. And then later that evening, her dog was found wandering around by himself on the 29th floor of that same building. But no Heidi. Heidi was gone. Has not been seen since. The investigation, though, has turned up a lot of weird, unanswered questions. Yeah. So, Vincent, you found this story. Why don't you give us a little background on Heidi and everything?
So, Heidi had been married to Jim Wayne for 4 years. They divorced, and I get the impression it might not have been the smoothest divorce of all time, but over the preceding 9 years, they figured it out, and friends reported that they were getting along and co-parenting together.
Yeah, I saw him actually being interviewed on the news about this. He seems to be genuinely concerned about Heidi's fate.
Yeah, I think so. That said, back in 2016, Jim did file orders of protection and custody when Heidi had a psychotic break. And in this episode, she trashed her son's bedroom for no reason that I've ever heard. And then was walking around half naked in the street and going around trying to turn lights on and off.
Turn like, lights on? Turn what lights on and off, by the way?
I actually don't know.
That's what she said, though, huh?
Yeah, it's just what it said. I think she was getting fascinated by light switches. I don't know. She was not making sense when they found her. She was hospitalized and treated for a pretty severe Adderall addiction. That said, by 2021, her psychological and addiction issues definitely were looking to be in her past. Everyone said she was doing really well.
Yeah. Yeah, probably it was just related. I mean, substance abuse actually can mess with your brain in a big way and make you mentally ill. And hopefully, in most cases, temporarily. But, you know, hopefully. But, so hopefully she got past all that.
Sure.
But then the day of, when she was at the football game, her ex-husband Jim said that she seemed nervous, a little bit on edge when she was at that football game. She got up and left at halftime. She didn't give a reason. Didn't specify where she was off to. And then as a little time went by, calls and text messages to her went unanswered. But, you know, so a lot of people sometimes don't answer their phones or respond to text messages, right?
Yeah, so, I don't think that was like her, though.
Yeah, apparently. But obviously, it's no reason to send up the alarm quite yet. So there was not a missing persons report filed as of that day or anything like that. Because, things happen. Your battery runs flat, whatever, you know, right?
Right, yeah. But 72 hours later, she was scheduled to pick up her son. She had a week of custody with him, and she never turned up. This had never happened before, even when she was struggling with mental health and addiction. She always picked her son up.
Yeah.
This is what ended up getting her reported missing. The LAPD came over, checked her townhouse, and found that it was empty and not disturbed. Everything seemed to be in perfect order. Her work phone and laptop were still there, but Heidi was nowhere to be found. The GPS in her SUV had been deliberately switched off, and so had the location tracking in her personal phone and Apple Watch. That's maybe not a great sign.
No, it isn't a good sign. And you can shut off the GPS in your SUV. I've always assumed there's no that you can turn the screen off, but the GPS stays active and rats you out to the authorities no matter what, you know?
That's what
I've always assumed, you know?
Apparently not.
Oh, wow. I'll have to find out the off switch on my GPS in my car then.
It is a good question, though, about how much technology knowledge she would have had to be able to turn that off.
Or somebody else would have had to have had, you know.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is this something, and I don't know Heidi well enough to know this, but is this something that she would have had the technological understanding to know how to do?
Yeah. Well, you don't need to be a super techie to know that stuff. Like say, for example,
not necessarily.
If she knew some people and if she knew some people who knew about things like this, and these people explain this simple process of turning these three things off.
Yeah.
You don't even need to be technologically oriented to be able to do that. You know, you can follow the instructions.
I guess my question was, I think it sort of changes some of the mathematics on her disappearance. If someone's like, she wouldn't have known how to do that. She didn't know devices like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would have meant that somebody was doing that for her, which implicates a third party.
Somebody
right away.
Doing it for her or doing it to her, you know, one of the
exactly. Other. But that's a small detail. Let's keep moving along.
Yeah. So her boyfriend at that time, I guess he's still crying. I don't know if he's moved on yet. It's been several months. But he was living in San Francisco, and he didn't have any good answers for the investigators. He's actually working for Mark Zuckerberg's charity arm. His Meta company has got a charity subsidiary or something. He's VP of operations for that. So that's a fairly big job, I guess. Moving a lot of money around there. And he's a busy guy. Heidi texted him that she was afraid. That same weekend, she had texted him saying she was afraid and wanted him to come down to LA to stay with her. And which is interesting. And he said that he was worried, but he just couldn't make time for a visit down there. And whatever it was that was scaring her, she didn't go into it. And that was all he knew, which is kind of weird. I mean, if my girlfriend texted me that she was afraid, I mean,
I was going to say the exact same thing. Right?
I wouldn't be just like, sorry, I'm busy. I wouldn't be. Of course, maybe the relationship wasn't quite as close as we've been led to believe. Maybe they weren't really boyfriend, girlfriend. You know, I don't know.
Well, OK, but, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know a lot about him. He's actually a pretty minor figure in this.
Yeah.
OK, if anybody texts me, says, I'm scared, can you come stay with me? It could be a guy I barely know.
Yeah.
Right. Never mind my girlfriend or my, you know, significant other. I'd be like, what's freaking you out, man?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the next question.
Yeah.
No, sorry, busy. Like, what? It is odd to me.
It is odd.
I don't think that it's a sign of any guilt on his part, just so we're clear, that I don't necessarily think he did anything, but it's just so odd to me when I hear things like that.
Probably a sign that their relationship was not as close as the media kind of makes it out to be. And maybe he just didn't really care all that much, because maybe she was just some chick that he had dated a couple of times and that's it, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I mean, maybe that's it. I don't know. But that's, we don't want to misrepresent the relationship there. So was he boyfriend or just some dude that she sort of halfway knew? I don't know. But I would be, even if I didn't know her that well, I would be curious enough that I would call her on the phone and say, what's up? You know?
It's odd to me.
Yeah, you know, it is a little odd. So what else goes on? What else was happening with her that weekend?
Her own security camera at her house filmed her on Sunday, October 17th. Remember, this is 2021. This is a very recent story.
Yeah.
Leaving her rented townhouse. She lives in an upscale LA neighborhood. It's in West LA.
Yeah. And by the way, the camera is like, if you're standing facing her place from the street, the camera is like mounted on the right-hand corner and pointed to the left. So
yeah,
the camera shows you her driveway, the sidewalks, the street, and also a full view of her front walk and her front porch. Just FYI. Yeah. And if you're wondering about that, we'll explain later why this is important. If it even is, I don't know. But yeah. So anyway, she's seen leaving. I've seen that video too with her dog. Mm-hmm. Her dog is not on leash, by the way. He seems like a very good boy.
He's a very well-behaved hound.
He is. Yeah. He doesn't just dash off into the street, you know? And so, yeah, cool dog.
So she's seen in the driveway and Heidi was headed to her 11-year-old son's football game.
Yeah.
She's holding a phone, coffee, and keys. She walks into a Range Rover, her and her. They say it's a Labradoodle, but I don't think it is.
And he's dead. He doesn't have the kinky fur or anything like that. He's
like very small. All right, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not really important what the dog is, but it is weird to me that it's been reported as a Labradoodle, but it doesn't seem to be.
That ain't no Labradoodle. Sorry, guys. It's just some sort of a mutt. Very cute little mutt, but yeah.
Yeah. And well-behaved.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Her and the dog, they pop in the SUV, they head out. And it really doesn't look like anything's wrong. Like if you watch that footage,
there's no
indication that there's anything going on with her. She seems perfectly normal.
Yeah. Hang on. Okay. Sorry.
Take this next one.
A few days after she was reported missing, a text came through on her work phone. The sender was trying to get a hold of Heidi because her dog had been found wandering around by himself on the 29th floor of the Hope and Flower luxury apartment tower in downtown L.A., and you can find this easily on Google. It's like, type in Hope and Flower and it'll show right up. It actually is on Hope Street in downtown LA. It is a high rise.
It's very upscale.
Yeah. But what's interesting about this is the text went to her work phone number, but maybe there was a tag on the dog or something that had her work number in there. I don't know.
Well, the dog had been shipped.
Yeah. And so I guess they must have taken it to a vet and found out. Yeah. But then, anyway, a resident in that place had found the dog again on the 17th at around 7 p.m., which would have been about, 2.5 hours after she left the football game, her son's football game?
That's what it's reported. I actually don't have an exact time that she left, but that is what I have heard, 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Huh. Not at any rate, you can tell it's not very long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the dog is found and, you know, and identified through the chip. Well, that's all good. And by the way, what happened to the dog?
I don't know, actually.
Oh, no. I hope.
I'm sure that there's someone to take care of the pooch.
The ex has probably taken the dog in, because I'm sure that, probably at least if he wasn't into the dog, probably his kid had a relationship with the dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't want the dog going off to the shelter or something. So,
exactly.
So, but anyway, hopefully the dog is being taken care of. But anyway, nobody had the slightest idea why Heidi or her dog would have been in that building. Their police have not been able to find any connection to anybody who lived in that building. And also, by the way, this is in downtown LA, so it's a secure building. You can't just walk in there. You got to have a key card to walk into the residential portion. I mean, there's ground level retail, but to get into the apartment area, you got to have an access card. So what the hell was going on with that? We would all like to know. I mean, yeah. But I'm a little surprised that the if she got into that building, and she had to have gotten into the building to put her dog in there. Let's assume she's going to hit the road and disappear or something, just as a hypothetical. So she wants to leave her dog somewhere safe and not just wandering around the streets. So she gets into that building and leaves him on an upstairs floor where he'll be found and taken to a vet, hopefully, or something. But in order to do that, she'd have to have a key card.
Yeah, she didn't
to get
just
in there.
Walk in there.
And of course, that stuff, you know, that stuff's all recorded. So there's a key card with a number on it and a name and everything that she used to get into that building. And of course, the police aren't telling us everything. So I'm sure they have to have looked into this, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you think you'd be able to find out her connection.
You'd think. What I'm thinking is maybe the LAPD has footage of whoever let her into the building, and they're holding that back.
It could be that too. Somebody else let her in. It could be too, especially if she, you know, she's a respectable, well-dressed woman with a cute dog, mm-hmm. and she just comes wandering up when some guy's letting himself into the building and says, "Oh, hey, hi," and just, you know, wanders in. I mean, you know, she's not a sketchy looking character. Somebody would,
no.
A total stranger would probably just let her in.
But that then also, and we'll talk about this more in theories. That does get to the why. Why this building? She didn't seem to know anyone there.
I know. That's the thing I don't get either, because, I mean, it's in downtown L.A. and it's just, what's she doing in downtown L.A.?
Yeah.
Well, downtown L.A. has changed a little bit since the last time I was there. It's a little more friendlier place than it used to be.
We'll talk about this later on too, but like the Hope and Flower, it's a very nice upscale building, but it's not in the safest neighborhood.
No. Yeah.
There's some stuff around there that's not the best.
Yeah.
So her Range Rover was found in an underground parking garage of a totally separate apartment building several blocks away from the Hope and Flower Tower.
Yeah.
Security footage caught her walking her dog.
Not a Labradoodle, by the way.
Not a Labradoodle.
No.
Behind the alley. In the alley behind the Hope and Flower building around 6:30 p.m.
Yeah.
Only about half an hour before the dog was found with no owner in sight or, you know, even anywhere near him on the 29th floor.
Yeah, it's almost like she took him out for one last poop and piddle before she, you know, left him in the building and took off for God knows where. You know what I'm saying?
I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. In the footage, she's seen wearing the same clothes that she was last seen in. She's not carrying a purse or her phone, anything like that.
Yeah.
It really looks like she just popped out of the apartment tower to go let the pooch do his business.
Yeah.
And then intended to just go right back in, which is what it looks like to me. It looks like,
I would say,
you know, like that she went into this building or somewhere near it and left her purse there. I don't think if you were in your right frame of mind, which maybe she wasn't, I don't think you'd leave your purse in your car in that part of L.A.
No.
You'd probably want to make sure that you had that on you. And then, you know, just was taking the dog for a short walk and intended to go back in, which would make sense. But then again, she doesn't know anybody at that building. Friends told the cops that the way that she was walking looked absolutely normal. You know, in the footage that you can view of it, she doesn't seem upset or frantic. I mean, sure, it looks that way to me, but people who knew her said, yeah, she does. Nothing seems off about her.
Mm-hmm. Or the dog.
Or the dog.
That's or true. The dog. Yeah. That's, you know, that's, if she was upset, the dog would probably key in on that. All right. The dog's not
You'd
doing
think,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the cops investigate and they investigate some more. They found some more questions about Heidi. Again, nothing too sketchy or illegal, but still questions. But the main question centered about how she made her living. So she was making about $145,000 a year as a financial controller at a company called Camden Capital Partners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is okay, I guess. But it sounds normal at first, but, you know, it's actually a little strange because, first of all, Heidi does not have an accounting degree or any sort of degree in anything financially related. And yet here she is financial controller of this company, head of accounting for this company. And also the salary was actually for a position of that responsibility is not actually all that fantastic. $145K for a lot of people is huge, but in Los Angeles, you know,
it doesn't go very far.
Yeah, not nearly as far as it does in the rest of the country.
Yeah, I looked up what you would expect for a starting pay in Los Angeles for a financial controller, and it's a pretty big spread, but every site I found, that would be at least $31K lower than what you would expect to start at as a controller.
Yeah.
Although, so she was being underpaid, I guess.
Yeah. Although, well, of course, that might have been partly a reflection of her lack of official credentials in that particular area. Maybe that was part of it.
I guess.
But still, at the same time, I mean, this is an extremely important role in any financial organization. It comes with a lot of responsibility. And I wouldn't think that you would want to cheap out and hire somebody who doesn't have the credentials and the expertise, even if you can get it for $31,000 a year cheaper. I wouldn't think you would. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe.
Well, I think one of the things that's that will come up later as you get into this is the controller is responsible for making sure that all of your accounting practices are in compliance with the law.
Yeah. And that's like, you know, it's like half lawyer, you know, half lawyer kind of job, because I mean, federal and state regulations, California especially, is a pretty well regulated state. Some would say overregulated. And you know, staying in compliance with all that is no easy thing. I mean,
well, yeah. And that, I mean, that can be sink or swim for a company.
Yeah.
You know, if you go out of compliance with your reporting, you could be doing everything else right, making good money and not even being trying to defraud anybody.
And still,
if you fall out of compliance, those fines can sink your company.
Absolutely.
So the controller is really important for a financial organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of is.
It's not something you just give to your secretary, you know, usually.
Or, yeah, or your cousin's right, like high school dropout son. You know, you don't do that, you know. But so there's that. There's the fact that she had this job that she didn't appear to be especially qualified for. But also her lifestyle, she seemed to actually be living beyond her means. $145K, like, again, doesn't go that far in L.A. with the cost of housing.
L.A. will eat up that $145K really fast.
Oh, yeah, it will. The taxes, first of all, California has pretty high taxes, too.
That's true.
And so
that's
the taxes take a whole huge bunch off the top, and then cost of housing, and then you're left with, not much. She had herself a really nice townhouse in a kind of a hip neighborhood, drove a brand new Range Rover SUV, and those things are not cheap. Mm-hmm. Those two things, the townhouse and the SUV, should have eaten up just about half of her salary right there, if not more. Mm-hmm. That's before taxes, you know. And
that she would have had, you know, depending on what her tax burden was, she might not have had anything left over when you factor in federal and state income tax, the Range Rover, and the house.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't think you would
have. There might have been nothing left over, maybe 10 grand, depending on how it all breaks out. It's not much to live on.
No. Especially everything else is expensive in LA too. But apparently she did actually live pretty affluently. Her friends reported that she went out to lots of nice dinners at expensive restaurants. She always had really nice brand name, you know, expensive designer clothing. Mm-hmm. She went on really nice, cool vacations and things. And so she seemed to have more money than perhaps, although maybe she was just very, very good at making her dollar stretch. You know, maybe
that's possible. It's possible.
Maybe that was it. Or maybe, like a lot of people, she just, you know, there's a lot of people out there, by the way, who live beyond their means. I know a few of them. And they're not involved in anything criminal or sketchy. They're just living beyond their means and, you know, putting a lot of stuff on their credit cards and all kinds of things. So she might have just been one of those people. This doesn't mean that she was up to anything shady necessarily.
Her ex-husband, Jim Wayne is the guy's name, said she always seemed to have a lot of cash on her, but he didn't know where it was coming from because by this point he wasn't giving her any alimony.
Yeah. And they had shared child support, or shared custody, so he didn't need to pay her child support, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She told him that her boss would give her money in cash whenever they closed a big deal.
Mm.
Like some sort of bonus. But here's the really weird part. The company's official address was Heidi's townhouse.
This is looking a little sketchy now. Yeah.
This is looking pretty weird.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And when LA Magazine, a lot of this comes from this really incredible article that LA Magazine did on this, did a public record search. They found that Heidi was listed as the company's sole employee.
Huh.
So yeah, you heard that right. Just she works for the company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just her in her house. That's the only employee of the company.
Huh. That's interesting. So she's a chief financial officer, but there's not even like a CEO or CEO. Yeah, I don't know. That's weird.
Right. Well, exactly. So what's weird about this is that a controller in a company has to have a certain amount of independence from the rest of the company to be able to do their job.
Yeah.
At the very least, you can't have a company that's just a few owners and a controller. I can't even picture how that would work. It's, you know, it'd be like having a movie studio that was two studio execs and a film editor. You'd have to be like, well, okay, where's the cameraman? Where are the actors?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Who's doing the lights?
Somebody's actually got to make things happen here. Yeah.
If that makes sense. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
She'd also only been with Camden Capital since 2017.
So about 4 years.
She made it from executive assistant to controller, which is, that's an odd career path, I think.
That is pretty stellar, actually. I got to hand it to her. Yeah, she must be remarkably talented. So Heidi's boss was Jason Sugarman. Jason's partners are believed to be Jason Kalana, who apparently got a mention in Forbes magazine. They called him a, quote, new king, unquote, of finance. And apparently he was big in some other area of the economy. which was like internet porn, I think.
Porn. Yeah. He was, I don't totally know his whole history, but he was behind some very large and profitable porn websites.
Yeah. I had never actually seen this, all this internet porn I keep hearing about, but I hear it's big on the internet.
it's a growing industry.
Yes, it is. See, who else? Also, Jason Sugarman's partners. Another one is Devin Archer, who is a former business partner of, yes, you guessed it, Hunter Biden. So, yeah. And so by 2019, Jason Sugarman and Jason Kalanis became the focus of an SEC investigation because the feds accused them of, quote, unquote, misappropriating $43 million from the Sioux Nation. Although other reports I've seen, they've misappropriated $43 million from various retirement funds. So maybe not just the Sioux, but
I don't know if it came just from, I tried to get my brain around this and it just was too big a rabbit hole for me to fall down. But yeah, I think there were Sioux Nation retirement accounts also wrapped up in that. But I don't totally understand exactly everything that Sugarman and Kalanis had done. But
I think it looks like the Camden Capital was not necessarily connected to that investigation, but they had their fingers in a lot of pies, so including in Camden.
A totally different company that the two of them had started that had nothing other than them to do with Camden Capital.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, though, is that if you're investigating these guys who have misappropriated stuff, you're going to take a good hard look at all their little business ventures.
Absolutely.
You're not going to say, Camden Capital, they say it has nothing to do with this. So forget it. No worries. You're not going to do that.
Right.
So is it possible that even though she was not named in that investigation and there's no apparent connection to this misappropriation of funds, is it possible that these problems were involved in her disappearance? Naturally, there's a lot of speculation on that.
The SEC is with you because... Yeah. 4 days after Heidi was reported missing, the SEC, that's the Securities and Exchange Commission, who investigates financial crime in this country. We should be clear about that.
Yeah.
They reached out to Heidi's ex, Jim Wayne, to ask about Jason Sugarman. And that was just 4 days after she was missing. Camden Capital Partners wasn't Sugarman's only company. See, he's also the director and key shareholder of something called the Burnham Financial Group. I love how innocuous they try to make these names sound.
Oh, yeah.
That's the company that pitched a very controversial multi-million dollar to Hunter Biden's Chinese business partners in 2015. That all went south. And that's another rabbit hole that I probably spent a whole week chasing down.
Yeah, that Hunter Biden is a talented businessman, I got to say. He's another guy with his fingers in a lot of pies. And
needless to say, I don't think that this business deal, I have to be careful how I phrase this, but this 2015 business deal with Hunter Biden and his Chinese investment partners, it was not considered above board. I don't know what results of it were. I don't think anyone ended up in prison over it, but it was not considered to be totally square.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm harshing too hard on poor old Hunter, because I feel a little sorry for the guy, to be honest with you. But does this have anything to do with our Heidi disappearance? No, of course not. I doubt it, at least.
It doesn't really seem to. I bring it up because I we're going to hear from it, Joe, from the conspiracy guys, if we don't at least mention.
Oh, absolutely.
Hunter Biden and his cronies are at least distantly connected to this.
Extremely peripherally involved. Yeah. So we have to at least give it a mention. Yeah.
It's interesting.
It is.
So when Jim called Heidi's boss to let him know that Heidi was missing and ask if he'd heard from her, Jason Sugarman refused to speak directly to him. He would only speak to Jim through an assistant and gave Jim no information, like not even banal stuff that would be really simple.
Yeah.
He wouldn't tell her anything about what she did for the company or if he knew anything about her whereabouts prior to her disappearance, what she was doing.
That seems a little cold, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, right. If someone who works for you goes missing and their ex calls you up to be like, where's the mother of my child? You could at least have the decency to be like, yeah, she worked here. I don't know where she is, but she was our controller.
Yeah. I mean, I talk to him personally and don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't seem like you're exposing, it doesn't seem like you have to protect yourself legally or whatever, unless you do, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know.
He did, however, and this I think is really interesting, make a point of asking Jim to return her work laptop 3 times. Now, this is despite the fact that Jim didn't have it. The FBI did. And he kept telling Sugarman.
Yeah, they found that when they raided her townhouse, right? Or I shouldn't say raided, but when they inspected it, they found her work laptop there.
So this would be before there is a raid. We'll get into this later, but this is, I believe, before even that the FBI took custody of it. And really? I'll be honest with you, I don't actually know how the FBI fits into this story. I tried to figure that out too. Yeah. I understand how the SEC, the Security and Exchange Commission, I understand how they fit in. I understand how the LAPD fits in. I don't know what the FBI is investigating with regards to Sugarman and Camden Capital.
Yeah.
I have no idea. It's not been disclosed. I spent as much time Googling it as I could, and I did not come to any answers.
Yeah, I it's good.
I called the FBI's press office and got blown off by them, but I didn't bother.
You didn't want to get blown off. I don't mind getting blown off by the FBI. It's just that part where they put me on a list, you know, and bug my house.
There is always that risk when you call the FBI to ask about ongoing investigations.
Yeah, there is. You don't want to attract their attention. But here's what's really weird about old Jim Sugarman. And again, this is not illegal at all. But so the day after he talked to Jim, I'm not sure which of those three phone calls it was. And he didn't, I don't think he talked to Jim. He talked to him indirectly, right?
Right.
Jim
right.
tried to talk to him, and he passed along a message saying, hey, we want that work laptop. But anyway, so Jason shows up at Heidi's townhouse. And I've seen the footage of this, and it's on the security camera that I described earlier. So he parks his car, walks up to the porch, rings the doorbell, sets down a box of muffins on the porch, and then walks off back to his car. So he doesn't even like wait for her to answer the doorbell.
No.
He just rings it and then sets it down and leaves. So he obviously knew that she was not home. And you can tell not only by the fact that he didn't wait, but when he parked his car, he didn't even pull it all the way into the driveway. He's blocking the sidewalk. He leaves the driver's door open. You can see this clearly on the footage. Mm-hmm. And then he walks up and rings the doorbell and leaves the box of muffins and walks back away again. So why did he go over there with muffins if he knew that she was not home?
Right.
Why? Yeah, that's a mystery.
It's really weird.
Actually, I have a theory as to what he was doing, but
is that for now or should we save it?
Oh, it's whatever. We can talk about it now.
Okay.
And this is entirely speculative, of course. But the box of muffins, you know, the box itself might have been a message, could have been a signal, because like all these little home security systems, I'm sure that Heidi was able to log into her account or security account or whatever, or get in, mm-hmm. or maybe it's on all that stuff is on a server in her townhouse, but she'd be able to dial that up from anywhere via the interwebs and see what's going on the security camera footage of her house, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that could be something like a signal to say, you know, hey, a box on the porch means like, you know, hey, go check the dead drop for a message, or maybe it means meet me at the spot tonight at the usual time. You know, maybe different objects mean different things. You know, like a box means one thing. A bouquet of flowers. We're
on the same page about that. Yeah. I had the same thought. Like, I wanted to know if we've ever seen him dropping stuff off at her house.
Well,
in the past,
and here's,
that was even possible to investigate.
Yeah, that's something I'd be interested in knowing, and I'd also like to see if there's footage of Heidi putting stuff on her porch, because you know, she's not necessarily the only person that could dial in to that camera and see what was going on and see what was sitting on the porch.
Yeah.
It could be that Heidi's porch was, you know, kind of a hub of communications for several people. Again,
that's some cloak and dagger stuff there.
Oh yeah. Entirely speculative on my part. Entirely. Yeah. So don't.
No, but
yeah.
I did have the exact same thought that it must be some kind of signal or something.
Yeah. That's, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Yeah.
And so I hope people go out and look for this footage, but if you look at it, he's clearly like, it's the dead center of frame. Like, he's not just passing through with the box of pastries. He's leaving it on camera.
Yeah, it's definitely on camera. That's why I described the setup. It shoots. It actually is pointed from the one side of the house, you know, at the porch. So you can definitively see there's no hidden part of the porch that you can't see from this camera. So yeah, anybody leaves anything on there, it's going to be visible. And you know, you just got to hope that the UPS guy doesn't drop a package there and get the wrong message out to everybody in your little cabal, right?
Yeah, but right. Someone doesn't come by and litter and it starts a
I know.
Cost someone their life or something. Yeah.
I know, but anyway, I think that was some sort of a signal, but again, I don't know. That's just speculative, because otherwise it really kind of makes no sense to go by and leave muffins like that. I mean,
right.
Seriously. Yeah,
maybe it's not. Maybe it's something much more innocuous than this cloak and dagger idea that our heads went to, but it is something. He's not trying to leave her some muffins in case she gets hungry. That doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it really doesn't. Because the thing about it is he knows she's not home.
Yeah.
And so if I came home and I found a box of muffins sitting on my porch, I am not about to eat those frickin' muffins. Are you?
No, right? Where did these come from?
Well, hell yeah. And so what's the point of leaving muffins if she's not home? And of course, he knows that she's not home. You know, he knew it from, you know, and so what's the freaking point? I don't know.
It's strange.
Yeah.
I keep trying to think of things that reasons he would be dropping muffins off at a missing woman's house that aren't shady. And I'm really not coming up with much.
Well, it's not necessarily shady. I mean, because, I mean, it's possible, like, say, that they just had some sort of signaling system like that. And it was not attached to anything illegal, but they just wanted something, you know, some sort of off the books, off the grid way of communicating.
That's shady.
You know?
Shady in and of itself.
But no, I mean, the fact that
you need to tell me something, Joe, you call me. That's what you do when we need to talk about the shocking details.
Well, absolutely.
We're a podcast. We're not a shady financial capital firm.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You just call me up and tell me.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. But I mean, it is shady in the one sense. But at the same time, if somebody wants to do something and be totally off the grid about it, I don't actually attach any moral significance to that personally.
No, it may not be immoral. It may not be illegal, but I guess we're getting into semantics about the definition of the word shady.
It seems like, yeah, you're trying to do something a bit sneaky there. You know, it does seem a bit sneaky, but again,
so we're clear, I don't think that it's necessarily indicative of something illegal, something immoral or unethical going on.
Yeah.
It just is odd.
It's definitely odd. There's no doubt about that. I mean,
that way I find it to be at least 1% shady. And I think most reasonable people would agree.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just saying, of course, it's sketchy, shady, whatever. I'm just saying, it doesn't mean they're you know, doing anything illegal, but probably. Anyway, so what do we got here? Let's see.
Let's talk about October 29th, because this is another really strange thing going on at this townhome.
And so this is when they actually came by and broke into her house. That would be law enforcement, the LAPD and federal agents. Again, like you said, what are the federal agents doing there? But
I don't know.
Well, actually, if they suspected abduction, then I guess that is a federal case.
I guess so. So that could be a part of it.
Maybe that's it. Yeah,
possible.
Or maybe it's the SEC connection, perhaps. I don't know.
It could be. And what I believe I read, and please forgive me because I'm going off script and I get stuff wrong when I don't have it on the script.
Yeah.
I believe the LAPD was asked to do this raid by federal officials.
Yeah.
So this wasn't LAPD just acting on their own volition. They were asked to do this.
Yeah. Well, you know, they were the guys with the local jurisdiction and the local SWAT team and everything like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I don't know if they had to smash the door in or if they picked the lock or what.
They
kicked the door in?
They had to. I'm sure Jim would have given him the key if he had one, but they did. You can see video of it. They kicked the door in.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw some video of that, and they're wearing their little SWAT vests and everything, and they got their guns. And so, yeah.
Yeah. They came like they were expecting a firefight, not an empty house. I thought that was really odd.
Yeah, I know. And, anyway, it turned out to be a fairly peaceful scenario. Nobody was home. And they went in and looked around. The only evidence they took away looked like files, apparently, that was caught by some news crews.
News crews found them hauling out. They look like sort of banker's boxes or something like that. So it was probably paperwork.
Mm-hmm. It could be severed heads. You know, you don't know.
But, you know. I don't know what was in the boxes, but it looked pretty innocuous.
But
who knows what that paperwork contains.
Typically, banker's boxes have papers in them, but you never know. You can put severed heads in those. Don't ask me how I know this, but, you know, it can be done.
You could put muffins in there.
Or muffins. Maybe that's what the muffins were about. Maybe she was actually a muffin collector. You know, maybe the FBI and the officials like, look at all these muffins. Let's have a party. And they took them all. That's probably what it was. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. No, they were just like, oh, booyah, bonanza, muffins. Yeah. But it actually did look like files, like probably possibly paperwork from her job with Camden. Maybe. Right. I don't know.
Well, and you got to remember that her house, her townhome in West LA, is the closest thing to an office that Camden Capital has.
Well, that's the thing, is were they raiding it over the SEC investigation, or were they raiding it over her disappearance? I have to assume it was about her disappearance and not the SEC investigation or some other investigation.
I have no idea.
But
I looked. I tried to figure it out, and I didn't find any credible sources saying this was the reason.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that there was a warrant filed, and if you had the right investigative skills, you could get access to that warrant. But you know, so just to double back on how weird this raid is, whatever the reason that brought them there is, this is a rental. So remember that, right?
Yeah.
So if nothing else, there's a landlord with a key.
Yeah, I know.
And we know that no one's home. They didn't have to kick in the door. I don't think they needed to wear vests and come in with their guns drawn. I don't know what they were expecting to find in there. And man, I would love to hear what they thought they might be walking into.
I kind of suspect that it wasn't so much that they wanted to catch them by surprise because they were worried about a shootout or worried that they were going to flush the heroin down the toilet. I don't think it was necessarily that, but they probably didn't want to call the landlord and ask him to come by because the landlord could have picked up the phone and called her. And then she could have like burned a bunch of papers before they arrived. Yeah. So it's kind of that situation. They wanted it to be a surprise.
I guess, yeah.
Not, you know, again, not raiding your drug den kind of surprise, but you know, they just didn't. Yeah. So that's kind of that's my thinking on the whole thing. Cause
I mean, it's also where we're kind of going into mini theories about this October 29th raid. It could have just been a miscommunication, some kind of Keystone cop stuff. They misunderstood why the feds were sending them there.
It could have been that they just really enjoy kicking indoors. We just got this cool little battering ram thing. We just got it just off the internet, off Amazon today. We want to check it out. We want to try it out. Man. That's it. So that could have been it entirely. Yeah.
But it's at the very least, right? We can agree. This is kind of an odd occurrence. Like, this is one more really strange thing in this case.
You know, yeah, again, like you say, they're, you know, bashing their way in versus just getting the landlord to let them in. That's odd. Yeah, I agree.
It is odd. Yeah. And what, I currently know several and have known in the past some police officers socially. It's a big deal to draw your gun. They train you not to pull that gun out unless you think there's a good likelihood you're going to be using it.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of cops go through their entire careers without ever pulling their gun out, believe it or not.
So they had multiple police officers with firearms out. Yeah. Says that for at least some reason, they thought there might be something dangerous in there.
I guess so.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, interesting, but I don't know. Heidi does not strike me as a dangerous person, by the way.
No. Right. Yeah. I don't think her little non-labradoodle was much threat to the cops had it even been there, which, frankly, her house seems to be the one place that they knew she wasn't at.
Yeah.
And so I think they're after those files. What those files were related to, I would love to know, but I don't.
Yeah. And that doesn't necessarily mean the files had anything juicy in them at all. It could have been just a big old fishing expedition, you know?
Exactly.
So, you know, I don't know. So where are we at here? So
November 2021.
Yeah. So this is about a month and a half after her disappearance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is right around Thanksgiving that this came out.
Oh, it's when we want the bad news to come out. It's during the holidays. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it did kind of get buried in the news. I had to really go hunting for it.
Yeah.
So yeah, this brings us to late November 2021. The LAPD, they make a statement saying that they had found some sort of, they did not specify, forensic evidence that Heidi had died at the Hope and Flower Tower.
The Hope and Flower Tower. I love that name. But anyway, where she had last been seen. So she's seen there. So she dies there. Okay.
It also came out around this time that it might not have been her first visit to the building.
Yeah.
KTLA had been asking around. The reporters had gone and asked building staff and residents if they recognized Heidi and her dog. And they said they did. They didn't know who she was. They had recognized her. They'd seen her before.
Yeah.
They didn't know why she was in the building or who had let her in or whatever, but they had seen her around.
Yeah.
So that brings us right up to the present day. It's mid-January and the cops still haven't arrested anyone or divulged what they think happened. I kind of have my own theory because shortly after this KTLA thing came out, the LAPD was searching landfills.
Yeah. So the building, of course, would have dumpsters.
Yep.
And those dumpsters probably would, you know, go to a specific landfill or maybe two, you know, and to be emptied out. So that's probably why they're searching those landfills. But here's what I don't get. I mean, if there was foul play and somebody murdered her right there in that building, mm-hmm. you know, entirely plausible, and they got rid of her remains in the dumpster, entirely plausible. Mm-hmm. Why would they not take the dog somewhere else? I'm not saying they should have killed the dog, but I definitely, if it were me, I would definitely not kill the dog, but I would definitely move the dog outside of my building because the dog is a little bit incriminating. You know what I mean?
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to go on a limb here and say that if Heidi fell victim to foul play, which seems to be what the LAPD thinks, this is not just me alleging this.
Yeah.
inside that building, whoever did it, I don't think would qualify as a master criminal.
Probably not. Yeah.
I don't know what's up with the dog, why they didn't, you know, kill the dog and put it in the dumpster with her. I know that's a disturbing thought for a lot of people, but criminals do this stuff. Or take it somewhere else and let it roam free in another neighborhood to cover her their tracks.
Absolutely. That's what I would do, is I would use the dog as a diversionary tactic. I would leave the dog somewhere, you know, across town.
Yeah. And so this, and this has been speculated all over the internet, that it was the dumpster that led them to want to search the landfills.
Yeah, sure. Makes sense.
Putting a body in a dumpster is not the smartest way to get rid of a body.
Yeah.
It's not the dumbest, but a lot of crimes go wrong that way. It is, for all we know, someone else was going to put something in that dumpster and could have seen it or smelt it, or maybe the garbage man would have.
That's the thing. It's,
I don't think we're dealing with brilliant criminals here, if that's really what happened.
Yeah, no, probably not. Although, you know, I mean, and the problem is, too, is dumpster divers. And this is downtown LA. You know, a lot of homeless.
Far from Skid Row.
Absolutely. A lot of people are burrowing around in dumpsters. So it just doesn't strike me as a bright move. But again, you know, there's lots and lots of dumb criminals out there. So, hey. So that's about it.
You know what, Joe? I'm exhausted.
Yeah?
I need a break. I need a very special kind of break.
The special kind of break that our listeners love so much, where they get to hear commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Oh,
it's commercials.
What too. You've These been waiting for. Great. You've been sitting through this tedious presentation and just saying, come on, play the freaking commercials. Come on.
And I know. They're like, God, I really need to hear an air conditioning commercial in Spanish right now.
Exactly. So here you go. We will be right back. Right.
We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back, ready to talk about some theories relating to the disappearance of one Heidi Plank from Los Angeles, California in October 2021. So I don't know. What do you think? You got any theories there, Vincent?
I do. I think we should probably do a pretty quick theory section, because probably most of the theories I have are going to be the same ones that any reasonable listener would have.
Yeah, there's nothing too out of the way here, except I'll think of at least one outlandish one to throw in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know you will. That's why I didn't write any outlandish ones, because I knew you were going to help me
here. Yeah, I'll come up with something. Yeah.
I'm going to start with what I honestly believe to be the most likely scenario, though it is not, just so we're clear, it is not, I think, a slam dunk. That her disappearance is connected to her boss and his partners and their possibly shady dealings in the business world. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, there seems to be a lot of speculation that there was some of that. Although, you know, again, this could be entirely coincidental.
Oh, yeah.
It could be that this weird little disappearance had nothing to do with those guys, but it was a huge, huge piece of bad luck for them, because it suddenly uncovered, you know, some of their sketchy stuff. And now they're screwed. I mean, think about that. It's entirely plausible that could happen. I mean, these guys were doing some shady stuff, had no intention of hurting or murdering anybody. But they got screwed anyway, because some random person disappeared Heidi off the streets of L.A. You know, I mean, that isn't. But or on the other hand, it's connected to the shady business that she was kind of involved in. That's certainly, I mean, you can't not consider that possibility, right?
Yeah. I think especially. You know, it is something you can't help but speculate on when you realize that since 2019, there was this investigation that is connected maybe not to Heidi, but to her bosses, Kalanis and Sugarman. Sugarman's actions with the friggin' muffins or pastries or whatever they were, putting them on her port. It just looks odd. Like, it's very reasonable to wonder, you know, even if it's not connected, that his actions above and beyond just that there was this other thing going on and she disappeared.
Yeah, this could be
his actions in the wake of her disappearance it causes a person to raise an eyebrow.
It does. And you know, the wanting the work laptop back so badly and mm-hmm. stuff too. But it could be too that maybe Heidi's role in this is why this explains her stellar rise up the ranks, and then suddenly she's chief financial officer. It could be that the plan was to, if you remember the story we covered a while back, the CBS murders, when they had the they had the great shady accountant who was helping them cook the books and stuff and covering all their malfeasance. And this guy, Erwin Margolis, just hatches his plan to murder her and her lesbian lover, make it look like they'd skipped town and after embezzling millions of dollars and blame and shift the blame for the entire thing on her.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a similar situation, you know, where it's like these guys have misappropriated $43 million and they're going to like just, you know, make it look like she skipped town and with, you know, all the money. Again, speculative on my part.
That is totally speculation. Yeah. But it's,
but you know, something like that is conceivable too. But again, that's,
I mean, you can't help but wonder, right?
Like, yeah. No, you can't help but wonder. Of course. And again, I'm not saying I totally believe this happened or that you should believe it happened. I'm just saying that's,
no.
It just reminds me of that situation that we talked about.
It really does. I was describing this to my wife before we recorded, and she was like, geez, this is like CBS Murders Part 2.
It does remind you of that quite a lot. But again, you know, there's no evidence for that at all. So, you know, I don't want anybody to pick this up and run with it on Reddit or anything like that. But what are other possibilities here? Let's see. She was involved with, she did have a severe Adderall addiction, apparently. That
in her past.
Yeah, that caused a major break and some pretty erratic behavior. And mm-hmm. Could it be that? Could she have gotten back into that all of a sudden? And then, bam. Yeah. But, you know, that is entirely possible. People do fall off the wagon and they mm-hmm. fall off hard sometimes. It's been known to happen. But
I will say that for what it's worth, there were sources that interviewed people in her life. And they said in the days leading up to the murder, she had not been acting strange.
Yeah.
She seemed to be engaged in a mental health crisis. No one suspected that she was taking substances of any kind again. She seemed pretty normal, except for seeming agitated at the football game itself. You can't rule that out. And it is a really sad fact of addiction. It's a disease that stays with you. It doesn't just go away because you were 5 years clean and sober.
Yeah.
It can come roaring back. So it is something to consider, and that, you know, whatever became of her, if for heaven forbid she was killed in that building, it could have had something to do with drugs. That's a scary industry.
Maybe.
There isn't a lot of evidence for that, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, no, I would say actually what would contradict that theory is that if she say, and we're talking drugs, not as that she was involved in selling drugs, but she was just, yeah, you know, on drugs herself. What would contradict that for me is that for somebody who went off on a bender and sort of just, you know, fell off the edge of the world, she did a masterful job of covering her tracks as she did so. Right. And so, well, not something that you would expect from somebody who's addled from drugs, you know, like shutting off her GPS and her car and her phone and her Apple Watch and God knows what else, you know. So that's why I'm not really buying the idea that she went on a bender and just lost it and fell through the cracks.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess one thing I saw, I think on Reddit, but somewhere in this, you know, someone was speculating was that she may have died of an overdose in the building.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, or her body in the dumpster or something. Stuff like that does happen, but yeah, it doesn't seem to track.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's within the realm of possibility, which is why we bring it up. But there, you know, I think it's just slightly more likely than something like alien abduction. You know?
Yeah. So. Well, there is. But yeah, that's a possibility that she dies. She dies with an overdose in the building. And then whoever it was she was hanging with didn't want their relationship becoming public, which kind of is related to, you know, theory number three was she dating somebody who was living in that building? At the Hope and Flower building.
This has been alleged.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It seems to me that if she was a regular in that building, then probably.
Well, she did seem to know somebody in that building. You need a key card to get in. People had seen her around with the dog multiple times.
Yeah.
And that, I think also, yeah, two and three are kind of connected in this way. Why would you need to leave in the middle of a football game that you were expected to be at? To see this person, what would be so urgent that you'd have to go to that building and see them?
Well, I mean, she didn't necessarily go straight to the building, though. I mean, she wasn't seen like walking her dog behind the building until several hours later. So maybe there's some other urgent little thing that she needed to attend to. And then after that, she's like, hey, I'm going to go see my honey in the building or whoever it is that she's, you know, whoever she knew in that building. So, you know, but apparently, again, they didn't, whoever it was, didn't do a great job of covering their tracks. They should have moved her car, and they didn't.
Well, maybe they did.
Well, they moved to several blocks away, but yeah. That just wasn't far enough, in my humble opinion, especially when you've left the dog just wandering around inside the building. You know, I mean, it just it makes no sense. But again, you can't rule out stupidity, you know, for criminals or whatever. They just think, oh, I'll just put the dog on another floor and nobody will be the wiser. And it makes sense, actually, in a sense. I mean, you know, maybe there are people out there who don't realize that dogs and cats these days are usually chipped. Maybe there's people out there.
Upscale LA.
Yeah.
Dog is probably going to have a chip in it. But yeah, if there was foul play, I think we can rule out, you know, the KGB or experienced mafia hitmen, that these people didn't seem to know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Or on the other hand, it could have been. Imagine this. Imagine that it was experienced KGB types, and they murdered the heck out of her. And then they take – and they've been following her, so they know about that she's got some friend or somebody living in this building. So they take the dog down, leave the dog in the building, and leave their car parked, you know, near, you know, just a few blocks away to, you know, just divert attention towards, you know, whoever it is that is living in that building. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's getting pretty deep into the weeds there, I know. But, you know, it's possible. I doubt it. But it's possible that a, you know, super, super sophisticated criminal might do something like that. That's pretty devious, don't you think?
It's pretty devious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing that I don't know. Most people don't seem to be feeling this way, but is that she was a victim of street crime.
That
does happen in Los Angeles. It is a big old city.
It's a fairly dangerous town these days too. I mean, it always has been, you know, but crime is definitely way up in LA this, you know, this past year or so. And, but at the same time, I mean, if you're going to say mug her and take her purse, why dispose of the body and why put the dog inside an apartment building? Yeah. I don't really get
that. No, you're right. You know? The dog inside the building kind of rules this one out, I
think. Yeah, kind of makes it less likely. Yeah.
So that would bring us to the last one, which would be that this was somehow a suicide.
Yeah.
That is like a lot of stuff in here. That is possible. Odd one, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see what she had to commit suicide about. It seems like her life was reasonably okay.
She seemed, from what I can tell, she kind of hit her rhythm in life. She'd gotten over her mental health issues and substance addiction issues, and she was in a good place with her son and with her husband, and she liked her job.
Yeah.
She's pretty happy. But, you know, suicide is an irrational act, so trying to explain it can be basically impossible.
Yeah.
There's no evidence for it is all I'm trying to highlight.
Yeah, I don't know. That could be it, though. Maybe when she was down walking her dog, what she did is she also opened the lid to the dumpsters down there, took the dog back up to the 29th floor, left him in the hallway, went to her friend's apartment and did a nosedive off the balcony into the dumpster, you know.
I hate even admitting this. I had the exact same thought. I'm not going to say that. That's just crazy.
It is. Well, I got to say though, if she did do this and she managed to hit the dumpster the very first try, well, bully for her, man. That's good.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's not, that would not be easy. I don't think I would hit the dumpster. I would probably miss it. But what else? You know, of course, we're assuming that she's dead. Maybe she might not be dead. You know, what if some of the stuff that she was involved in with Camden was kind of, the whole thing was kind of coming down around her ears and she decided to skip town.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah.
I am extrapolating a little bit, but it does seem that the LAPD is pretty sure she's dead.
Yeah.
That is, they could be wrong. She could still be out there. And that's part of why I wanted to do this episode, is that I don't feel like outside of local coverage in Los Angeles, this has gotten enough coverage.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is what I'm going to say is like this. Is, consider this kind of an APB to all of our listeners and be on the lookout for a 39-year-old, good-looking blonde lady. And if you spot anything like that, report it to the police right now. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we've speculated enough.
Yeah. No, I think
my hope is that they find her alive.
Yeah, my hope too. I mean, and it's entirely possible. She hasn't been gone that long, you know?
No.
You know, so hey, it's entirely possible she will turn up. Let's hope so. I'm sure her family would rather have her back. Okay. Well, I guess that's it for this week then. Next week we'll try to have something more uplifting. Probably not.
You're right. You're right.
Well, stay tuned to hear the lovely test tell you how to find us via email and social media. And of course, we're going to beg you just really fast, like to leave us a rating and a review, a good rating and a good review, wherever you may find our fine podcast. We appreciate it. please, please do that.
Please do. It really helps people find out about the podcast and helps us to keep doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Other than that, I don't know. I guess I'm about done for the week. How about yourself, Vincent?
Let's do it. Put this one to bed.
Okay.
Get on to the next one.
All right. Good night, everybody.
The Shocking Details can be found at www.theshockingdetails.com. We're on Twitter at Shocking Details. For discussion of episodes and more, our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/shockingdetailspodcast/. Or you can email us at theshockingdetailspodcast@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, please consider giving us a like and a positive review and letting people know about us.
Oh, hang on a second. I'll be right back. Hang on. Come here, boo-boo. Cat needs to transit my lap to get to her other sleeping spot. There you go.
Hold for cat.
There you go, buddy. Yeah. All right, you go on. You do your thing, buddy. Okay, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah, so, you know, my lap is a highway.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.